Good morning. Those of you who were here last month when I spoke might recall that what we talked about was why we pray. And the conclusion we reached was because God has an interest in hearing our prayers. Jesus has made the general assumption that we will pray. The Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us when we pray. And really what I would like to do is continue the thought process about prayer this morning. I want to look at the postures of prayer and why we assume the postures that we do. I can tell you that as a little boy growing up, that when we prayed in my house, your head was bowed, your eyes were closed, your hands were clasped. Why? Because Mom said so. And I did indeed ask for an explanation of that. The head bowed. Because everybody else does that, son. Why are your eyes closed? Because it'll keep you out of trouble, son. Why do you clasp your hands? Because it'll keep your hands to yourself, son. Now, y'all know that Second Opinions is a very long book, but it's not a good way to run a worship service. Is the posture of prayer relevant? Well, that's sort of one of those yes and no. Can you pray from whatever position you find yourself? Sure you can. We have a number of people in the congregation, Michelle comes to mind, Miss Woodford comes to mind, who are very interested in working out. And they will tell you that posture is important. Miss Woodford swims. And I can tell you that somebody standing flat-footed at the edge of a pool is not going to swim nearly as fast as the person who is standing on the blocks bent over grabbing the edge. Posture is relevant. It is not the be-all and end-all. And really the point of my lesson this morning is just to get us to think about why we do what we do. It is not possible for you to do a spiritual thing without doing a physical thing. Can you pray without assuming a posture? And the answer is no, you can't. Your body has to be in some position. Why is it there? It is not possible for you to do a physical thing without doing a spiritual thing. Does what you do physically affect how you live your life? Of course it does. My point this morning is to get you to think. One of the most traditional postures of prayer that we read of in the Bible is this one. With your eyes open, looking up, with your hands uplifted. What does that look like? I can tell you that in 42 years, I have never seen a prayer led like that at church. I can tell you why, and we're going to get there in a little bit, but I've never seen a prayer like that. Let's see. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel and spread his hands toward heaven. Now, what I'm going to give you is by no means exhaustive, okay? I'm just hitting the examples that these positions do exist. There are over 350 scriptures that go over somebody prayed in this position. In our church, we typically believe that we learn things either through direct command, through inference, or through example. If we have over 350 examples in Scripture of the postures that people assumed while they prayed, might it not be relevant to look at them? Hands lifted. I have seen a number of positions that didn't seem overly respectful that involved lifting hands. And do you know that with a little bit of thought, that position should seem relatively natural. We are children of God, are we not? Jesus said, unless you become like these children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What does lifting holy hands look like? You, as a child of God, are talking to your heavenly Father. This little girl seems to have a reasonable expectation that Daddy's going to do something. I love the little girl on the right. Mostly because it's just the innocent look. Here it is. Lifting holy hands. I can tell you that I try very hard not to preach about things that I don't do. I have tried these positions as I was preparing for this lesson. I have never prayed in that position before. It's an interesting paradigm shift, quite frankly. Something to consider. Standing. Now, this is the one that we typically assume when we're in the worship service. We look down, our eyes are either averted or closed, and we close our hands together like this. In Luke chapter 18, the whole story starts in verse 10. We're just going to read verse 13. It says, but the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not look up. Okay, he was standing. He would not look up, so clearly he must be looking down. And he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I would argue with you that verse 10 is why you've never seen this posture in a service. It says that the Pharisee lifted up his hands, lifted up his head, and started praying about himself. Now, I would submit to you that the problem with that Pharisee was not his posture, but his attitude. We are familiar with this posture. It is one that we assume pretty regularly here in worship service. It's one that we assume in my house when we have large gatherings for holidays or whatever, when we're going to pray before the meal. That's typically what we look like, because it's hard to get everybody around a table. So we just stand in the kitchen or where we are, and that's what we look like. Postures of prayer. Kneeling. Now, this is one of those positions that is near and dear to my heart, because I don't do this much anymore for a couple of reasons. Believe it or not, when I was young, I was a football player. I was in good shape. We win one state. And at this point in my life, I have no cartilage in my knees. However, kneeling is one of the most popular positions for prayer that we read about in the Bible. There are two positions. One of them, again, eyes open, looking up, hands lifted. Or, looking down, hands folded. We're going to look first in Acts 21, verse 5. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we have Solomon dedicating the temple. It says, Solomon stood on the platform facing the altar with everyone standing behind him. And then he lifted his arms toward heaven and he knelt down and prayed. By the way, chapter 6 is the prayer. Some of you young, strong, healthy people, you want to see how strong you are? Do this once. Read chapter 6 with your hands uplifted. You'll find that overhead extension, it starts to get tiring somewhere around verse 25, and you're only halfway through. I can tell you that I've never assumed that position while praying prior to starting this study. The positions that you assume, believe it or not, they affect how you think about what you're saying. Now, see a little boy on the beach? Can't do that. I physically cannot do that. Now me, I can stand here and do this for you, but I decided before we started I wasn't going to show you these because we don't have enough time for me to get up off the floor every time. See the lady in the middle? I can do that because she's got support and the bed is going to help her get up. I can do that one. That fellow on the other side, With help, I could get up from that position. This is a position that is biblical. It's not one that prior to this study that I had assumed. It's not one that I've ever seen anybody assume. Why? It's there. We say that we learn through example. Keep in mind that what I want you to do here is just think about why we do what we do. Prostrate. That is an interesting word because there is apparently a huge debate about what prostrate means. Now, when I was growing up, prostrate always meant this one. Lying on your belly, looking down with your eyes closed, or looking at the floor. I have assumed that position several times over the course of my life. Clearly, this is not a position we assume in corporate worship. By and large, you can not find enough room for all of you to do this in this room. We're actually going to get to that in a minute. David, however, in 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 12, therefore besought God for the child. That would be the child that he and Bathsheba conceived out of wedlock. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And what he is doing is praying to God for the life of that child. If you want to find out whether or not the child lived, go start reading in chapter 12. Matthew 26, it says, and he, that is to say Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. This is our Lord and Master who is laying on the ground face down praying to his God. If Jesus can do this as a method of prayer, so can we. The position looks something like one of those. I like the position of the little guy over here, because that's typically what I look like when I'm laying on the floor, because this one is just not comfortable. That lady up there, I'm telling you, I've had days like that. But you know what? It's pretty hard to be egotistical in that position. It's pretty hard to be arrogant when you're in that position, because there's not but one reason you're down on your face. This, by the way, would be the other definition of prostrate. Now, yes, the guy here that I wanted you to look at is this one. He's on his knees, but his face is against the ground. If you asked him, he would tell you he was prostrate. The same with the other fellow on the mat. Because his knees are down, but his head is touching the ground, he would tell you that he was prostrate in order to pray. These are positions that we don't see a lot. We don't assume these positions in corporate worship. Sitting, which is what most of us do, for probably 80% of our prayer life. Believe it or not, yes, there are scriptural examples of people sitting. However, if we look in Scripture, what we find is the people who are sitting on the ground. If you look in 1 Kings, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he prayed. Now what you're going to find is that that's right after the prophets of Baal die a very bloody death. He's tired. 2 Samuel. King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Went in, that is to say, to the temple. If you look back in the Old Testament a little further backwards, you're going to find out what furniture is in that temple. There are no chairs. When it says he's sitting before the Lord, he's sitting on the floor. Now, this is just a gee whiz. Most of us, when we think about sitting for prayer, it looks like one of these. On the couch, or in our pews, or around the dinner table. just as a curiosity. Have you ever thought about why you sit? Well, around about 1500, we had the Reformation. Somewhere in the 1500s, pews were invented as a concept. Prior to that year, when you went to church, you stood, because there were no pews. And believe it or not, there was a fascinating sort of church set of church fights that happened because pews were invented. Somebody had to pay for them. So they came up with, the first thing was, if you wanted to sit, you had to pay for the pew. Well, that meant that it belonged to you, right? Well, you brought this pew that belonged to you into a church building, and then you locked it because it was yours and you didn't want anybody else to sit in it. Okay, so now you have the haves sitting down and have-nots standing. Did that cause any problems? Well, of course it did. So then the churches said, you know what, we'll buy the pews, but somebody's still got to pay for those. So you're going to pay what's called a pew tax. And then what you did is you would only come to church if you had enough money to pay to sit down, because nobody was allowed to stand. Now, y'all laugh, but this is one of those things that as a paradigm, do you even think about why you're doing what you're doing? It's one of those things that we do so much from habit that we don't think about it. And remember that my purpose this morning is just to get us to think about why we do what we do. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Me, I can't kneel all day. I don't think I can lay on my face all day for that matter. One of the assumptions that we made last time I was up here talking was that you had a prayer life. That you had time that you set aside to talk to God. During that time, when you go to your closet, when no one else is watching you, what position do you assume? What do you look like? Are there other positions of prayer? And obviously the answer is yes. What I've given you is just the top five. Hezekiah, you'll find, prayed on his bed while he was so sick he couldn't get out of it. And before he was done praying, the Lord answered him. David, when he got old and infirm, prayed while he was laying in his bed. There are lots of positions of prayer. None of these are prescribed for us. All I want you to do is think about why we do what we do. We cannot be faithful to Scripture and say that posture is a complete matter of indifference. With over 350 references to how people position their bodies as they pray, we have sufficient example to assume different postures for prayer. We need to examine what we do to make sure that it is in accordance with the Word of God. I dare say that there are positions you could assume that would be completely inappropriate. And you know what? I think that, yes, back in Luke chapter 10, we talked about the Pharisee earlier. I think part of his problem, or most of his problem, was his attitude. And instead of lifting up his holy hands, he said, does it matter? I think it does, because it goes to reflect attitude. I would like to challenge you. When you are by yourself in your prayer time, to try some of these different positions. I can tell you that for myself, it does make a difference. In mindset, makes a difference in perspective. It's worth trying. You have biblical example of all these positions of prayer. Many of which, as I say, after 42 years, I had never tried. It struck me as ironic the last time that I had a sermon with y'all, that we had a sermon about prayer, and then we didn't pray. What I would like you to do, go ahead and stay in your seats. I don't want to turn the corporate worship into a circus. What I want you to do is I want you to think about praying. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that you have given us a way to learn what it is that you want. We thank you, Father, for giving us a way to speak to you, to speak with you. We'd ask, Father, that you would be with us and help us to work on our prayer lives to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning is yours. We have elders here this morning who, if you would like prayers from the congregation, you may come forward and they will come and greet you if you come forward. If you would like to be baptized, again, the elders are here. They would be happy to study with you. You may do that as we come and as we stand and as we sing.